Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But I would like to be more consistent with the spending because it's been pretty all over the place because I've traveled a lot this year.
Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast, Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP. And I am here with my guest today, Stacey. Hi, Stacey.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you for joining me. I love Fridays.
Fridays are the best.
They are. And we very rarely record on Fridays, I will say. So
I feel very special then.
Yeah, I record a lot on the weekends or like after work. I'm glad this worked out. So I have a spreadsheet in front of me, which we all know I love spreadsheets. But Tell me a little bit about yourself. So how old you are, where you live, what you do for work, and then we'll talk about your income and expenses.
Okay. So as you said, my name is Stacey. I am 29 years old and I live in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And I currently work in marketing at a real estate company. So that's what I've been doing for the past 2 years approximately.
Oh, amazing. I don't think we've had anybody from Puerto Rico.
Nope. I don't think so because I've been listening for a while and I haven't stumbled upon an episode of somebody from Puerto Rico.
Oh, very cool. I made a mistake. I think it was an episode that aired today and I was like, I think you're our first person from Nebraska. And she's like, no, I'm a very avid listener. You've had somebody. And I was like, oh. So now I'm hesitant to say that. Okay, so 29 years old, Puerto Rico. Oh, that's so fun. I love Puerto Rico.
Have you been here before?
Yeah, I've been a few times. Where do I go? I want to say 3 times I've been.
Okay, nice. So yeah, you've been here a couple of times. You like it. That's really cool.
Yeah, I was going to say one of my trips got canceled. It was a bad hurricane. And so
yeah,
we were slated to go. And I was going to go, where is the area where it, I don't know if it's an algae that lights up the water. So it like looks like it glows.
Yeah, the bioluminescent bay.
Yes.
I think there's two of those at least. So it could have been either one.
So that was a bummer. That's like still on my list to do because it got canceled, obviously, because it wasn't appropriate time to travel. We just had, you know, poor luck. So we had booked that and then that never got rescheduled because I think it was like not too far off from COVID and then COVID happened and, you know, traveling got kind of tamped down there. So yeah, it's definitely back. It's going to be on my list. It's a pretty easy flight from New York.
Yeah, exactly. It's a direct flight. And then there's just super fun outdoorsy things to do. I don't know if you're into that kind of thing, but besides the bioluminescent bay, we have some good hiking at the El Yunque, which is the rainforest. Okay. And we definitely have a cool lagoon where you can do water sports like paddleboarding and kayaking. So like there's a lot of things to do. Like you won't get bored here. And the food is always really good, which I'm sure you've tried before.
The food is so good.
It is. It's my favorite food. Like I've been to many places and Puerto Rican food cannot be beat for me at least.
Yeah, no, it's a great place. So if you haven't visited, this is a little plug for Puerto Rico. It's a great vacation. Well, very fun. Okay, cool. So 29 years old, Puerto Rico, you're working in real estate.
Yeah, so I work in marketing for real estate. So it's like in real estate, but I like to think that I'm like separate from real estate because I'm not a broker. So.
Okay, so marketing for real estate. Amazing. Did you guys see a big boom with COVID, like people moving? Did you see that or...
There's been a lot of people coming here because there is a law that allows people that want to invest in Puerto Rico to have like some sort of like tax credit. So there's been a lot of people from mainland USA to, coming over here, and that has surged the property prices pretty upward. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that sounds like it wasn't a tax benefit, but there was a Portugal did a very similar thing during COVID, that like you could become a resident or a citizen, I think, even with Portugal, if you bought property there. So that surged their real estate as well. There's a lot of interesting things that happened like that during COVID.
Yeah, so definitely kind of similar here. But you can live here, I think, at least 6 months out of the year, and that will count you as like a resident. And mm-hmm. then you get to have investments here. And if you have a company, then you're supposed to have a specific number of employees that are people from Puerto Rico to like boost the economy.
Oh, very nice. Well, that's all super interesting. Okay, so how much do you make doing marketing for a real estate company?
So I make approximately, it's 26K a year. Last year, I did a little bit more because they gave us a year-end bonus for everybody, which was like $2,000. So it was 28K last year.
Perfect. Okay. And then you said you get paid twice a month. So the 15th and the 30th.
That is correct.
Perfect. And what does that, your net amount here on your spreadsheet is $916.73 every pay period?
Yeah, approximately. It varies a little bit.
Okay. Okay. So gosh, where should we start? Should we start with, I'm looking at your spreadsheet, I'm not sure where to start. So we have your incomes. You're making, last year you made $28,000. We expect to make about that this year. Well, let's walk through your expenses. You did your expenses down on the bottom, right? As like, are these your annualized expenses, right? So like your apartment rental is $8,900.
Okay, so let me just explain it a little bit. So my living situation is a bit different. I live with my mom, so I don't pay rent. She is gracious enough that she lets me stay with her. So I don't pay rent, but I do have a couple of fixed expenses that I take care of every month. I do my car payment, which is supposed to be $404 a month approximately. And then I do a gym membership, which is $205. And then I pay my mom for the EC Pass car insurance, cancer insurance, mm-hmm. and my cell phone bill.
Okay, I have a question on this cancer insurance. I like this.
Yes. So my mom is one of, so she's one of these people that likes to be like super prepared for things that could happen in life. So she's mm-hmm. had this cancer policy for a while, and she has it for the whole family. So my dad had it, she has it, and then I have it. So that's why I have cancer insurance.
And so for a lot of people who are not familiar with it, I've seen it used before. If God forbid you got cancer, correct me if I'm wrong, it'll help pay for the medical expenses associated with that, including hotel stays to be near the cancer hospital.
Yeah, that is exactly correct. And I know that it definitely covers that and a couple other things.
Amazing. Just because cancer is very prevalent in our societies today. So
definitely. I think everybody knows someone that has cancer or has had.
Yeah, absolutely. Or has had or knows multiple people who has had or has cancer. So I went through your budget and I was like, cancer insurance, there's a couple things I had. There was that. And then I also really liked another one of your variable expenses. Okay. So cancer policy. Okay. So that's great. Your mom's very astute. I love that she did that. Does mm-hmm. cancer run in your family?
I think that there's only one person that I've known of that had cancer. But as I said, she just likes to be really, really prepared. So she has like all sorts of insurance for everything imaginable.
That's so funny. So I've gotten quotes for cancer insurance. It's like one of these things on my to-do list. And I will say sometimes my own personal stuff falls by the wayside because I work on everybody else.
Yeah.
But in my immediate family, I come from a large family. So not my mom, dad, sister, but like in my aunt's uncle, I think that we have 5 people currently with cancer.
Oh, wow. Sense.
Yeah, I think, hold on, maybe it's 4. Oh, okay, so 3 that are actively fighting cancer, 1 that is recovered from it. Yeah, so with family history, you should probably look at it. So that was a good reminder. I saw that and I was like, let me update my to-do list and make sure I get back to those people I got the quote from. So
yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say definitely add it to your list.
Mm-hmm. And I will say this is the first, I'm positive on this one. This is the first time we've ever talked about it on the podcast.
Okay, that's good then. It's going to be on a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, because I think that like it's great that it doesn't run in your family, but they say with cancer, because I'm in a program for high risk, where you have like a lot of family members that have it, there's like high risk programs you can go in. And so if it does run in your family, this is a great thing to consider. And even if it doesn't run in your family, still could be a great thing to consider. So really like that. So kudos to your mom. Okay. So we have all of those expenses. So not too bad. So 20, 60, 15, or round up. Cell phone 60, and then gym, and then car payment are your fixed monthly expenses.
Yeah. And then the variable ones, I can go over them briefly.
Perfect.
So I do tennis lessons every month. I love that. I've been doing that for like a year, and it's made a big difference in my quality of life and just like how I'm making time for fun things.
Okay, so that was the thing I loved in your expenses. I don't think I've seen lessons either. So I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. Yeah, I was like, this is so fun. I do ski lessons. So I feel like if I were doing a budget, mine would be very similar to yours. I like the insurance. That's something I will probably have in the short term on my budget. And I pay for lessons every year too. And I don't see that a lot for people, but to me, it improves my quality of life. So I'm a big fan.
Exactly. Yeah, so I love that for you too, that you're doing ski lessons, because I think it's pretty similar. And then I think you've mentioned on the podcast that you live part of the year in Utah, or are you full-time in Utah?
Yes, part of the year in Utah.
Okay, I think that's really cool.
Yes, okay, so this is so fun. So how long have you been playing tennis for?
For about a year. I think I started last summer around May, because I had been saying since forever that I was going to start playing tennis, and I hadn't done it. So I finally like worked up the courage and went to a lesson. And it's been pretty great. And the best part is that I only pay for the classes that I can go to. So I can just reserve my spot the same week and then just pay them, Venmo them afterwards.
Oh, that's perfect. So if you have a week that's like super busy with family stuff or work, then you're not paying for a lesson you didn't go to.
Exactly.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, perfect. Okay, so variable expenses. So we have tennis, which I love. And then, okay, walk me through these other ones.
Okay, so I included self-care and I put like manicure and pedicure. It's something that I used to do pretty frequently, but I haven't been doing it a lot. So that's why in some months it's like zero and then other months it picks back up. And then savings, I set up an automatic transfer every month for $284, which covers an amount to my emergency fund and then my travel fund. And then I think I'm putting like $100 in my savings account to invest eventually, which I'm sure you'll help me with after we go through the budget.
Yes.
And then miscellaneous is just random things like ATM withdrawals, or like if I buy water or something out of the gym. So just random things. And then I have four credit cards. So I have two Chase credit cards and then two of a local bank from here. So that's credit card payments, and that varies. If I travel in that month, it can go to the thousands. Okay. But if I don't, then it might stay a little bit lower between, I don't know, like 500-ish a month. And then the other two credit cards from the local bank, I just use to pay my like recurring things like Hulu subscription, stuff like that. So that's just there for like using it and for it not being like canceled or anything, because I haven't used it because it was my first credit card.
Got it. Okay. So it has a long history on it.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want to close that. And then Venmo is just there because I have friends that live in the States. So I might transfer something for a trip or something like that, but I don't use it in Puerto Rico because we have a version of Venmo that's called ATH Mobile, which is basically the same thing just for Puerto Rico.
For Puerto Rico, okay. Yeah, I know. I found out recently that Venmo depends on where you are, if Venmo works. Otherwise, you have to use a local version or sometimes like a bigger bank's version.
Exactly. Or people use Zelle and stuff like that, but I haven't seen it used a lot in Puerto Rico. So I don't know if people know about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Zelle works internationally. Yep. You're right.
Okay. Yeah. So that's also good to know. It's another option.
Another option. Perfect.
And then.
So what would you say? So we also have like car wash, which is important, entertainment, travel, gifts, doctor. What would you say? Because it definitely with variable expenses, they vary and they have for you over the past few months. Mm-hmm. What would you say you think your average variable month looks like that you allocate towards this? The tennis seems pretty consistent out of everything, right? And then the savings is pretty consistent.
So
the other ones are like a little bit more inconsistent.
Definitely. So I would say maybe around the 2,000, 3,000 mark. I just always...
Between all of your... With all of your expenses?
Yeah.
With all of your expenses?
Mm-hmm. I would say that. Okay. And then I usually make sure that every month I have money left over in my checking account. So that if I go a little bit over budget, there's still some money in my checking to play with. But I would like to be more consistent with the spending because it's been pretty all over the place because I've traveled a lot this year.
Well, that's fun though. Okay, because after your fixed expenses, so when we take out Easy Pass, car insurance, gym, car payment, cancer insurance, and phone, cell phone, we have $764 of fixed expenses. So if you're bringing in $1,893.46, after that is left over for all the variable expenses of $1,129.46. I would like to actually take your savings out of that, which is $284. Mm-hmm. So that really leaves $845.46 for all of the, for self-care, miscellaneous, Venmo, car wash, entertainment, travel, give or take. But you do have a lot in savings. So talk to me about that.
Okay.
And in investments. So I think that's where you're pulling, because I'm sure someone's listening being like, how do you spend $3,000 a month if you're bringing in $1,893, like on the months you go over?
Yeah. So
you do have a good buffer here.
So I feel like that's where I get confused with where to pull my money from. Because earlier this year in April, I received an inheritance of approximately $100,000 for when my dad passed away.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. So he had Parkinson's and he passed away on December of 2021.
Okay. And so then you received, an inheritance from him.
Exactly.
This year.
This year in April. Okay. And it was the $100,000, like I mentioned. And I've had that in an Ally high yield savings ever since I got it. And it's been gaining some good interest.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a terrible way to come to money. So I'm sorry that you lost your father. But let's talk about, so I think here's what we do, because you're with your budget, you keep a nice buffer in your, like what you have in your, it looks like what's in your checking account. So you have your income, your initial balance, then you have your monthly income in that account, right? And then you have your expenses, and then you see what you have left over at the end of the month.
Exactly.
What I would maybe challenge you to do is look at it from, this is your income is the $1,893. Mm-hmm. Your fixed expenses are the $764, and then your savings is $284, and then what's left over is $845. So I would try and stay within $845.
Okay.
But unless something changes, but I would say let's try and keep your variable expenses here, and then let's, for the time being, let's table that and let's talk about what you have saved up, and then maybe I might adjust that. But I think if you say to yourself, okay, I have roughly $800 for variable stuff, you know, self-care, tennis, car wash, entertainment, travel, all of those sort of things, then you kind of, you know where you fall. And I would put savings, I would almost put savings up at your fixed monthly cost, because I think it's important that you're putting aside some money. So why don't we go down and talk about your savings, the high yield from the LA account, and then you have a lot saved in investments. And then The apartment rental, is that for a future apartment rental? Is that money saved up for that?
Yes, definitely. So in the apartment rental bucket, I've been trying to get ahead of eventually when I want to move out. I have like first and last month's rent and then some extra money for like a couple of essentials. So I'm trying to get that up to $10,000. I currently have $8,930. And I've just been putting the interest that the account earns, I've been putting it straight there.
Oh, you're taking the money from... Okay, so let's talk so the listeners can hear. So you have currently... Your checking is your working account, so we won't count that. So your Ally Bank, where you put the inheritance in, you have $130,000 in there.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. And then you have tax payments, you have $1,000. So you have and this is everything in here in Ally? Everything in this column?
Yeah, so all of the columns that you're seeing on the table are the Ally buckets on the account.
Perfect. Okay, so your investments, when that says investments, you have $71,765.71. Is that invested in high yield or in like market investments?
That is just saved in the Ally high yield savings. And then my goal is to actually invest that in the market, which I haven't gotten to.
That's okay. So this is what we'll chat about. Okay, so tell me if this is accurate. So when you log in to Ally, do you have $260,871 in there?
No.
Okay. So, oh, I see what we're doing. That your total is $130,000 and your $130,000 is broken down into tax payments, clothing, big trips, investments, car payoff, Invisalign, vacations, emergency fund, and apartment rental.
Exactly. That right? That's correct. Sorry if it was confusing.
Okay. Good. No, that's okay. You do have that bolded, but yes, I got that now. Okay, perfect. This makes more sense. I was just like, what? A little confused. Okay. So I love the idea. So you're taking the interest and you're putting it in the apartment rental. So you'll get that up to the $10,000, $71,000 for investments. Is fantastic. So I see the whole breakdown here. Okay, so I have a question for you.
Okay.
If you go and $130,000 is a fantastic amount of money at 29 and you have no debt. You just have the car payment, but you already have the money to pay it off if you choose to. And there's no other debt, correct? Is there student loans or anything?
No, there's no other debt, thankfully.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, so you're thinking about renting. What does rent look like where you want to live in Puerto Rico?
So in Puerto Rico, it's very similar to what it goes in the States. So it's around the $1,200 to like $1,500.
Okay. And then I have an idea. So I just want to chat it out with you.
Okay.
What I know you said real estate prices have moved up. What does it look like for you to buy? What's the purchase prices look like? And what is that process in Puerto Rico?
So purchase prices for something in my budget are in the 100,000s or 200,000s. And then the purchase process is not very complicated. Like I think it's similar to the States where you need to get like your pre-approval and all of those things. But it's not impossible. So it's definitely something that could be done and that I considered at some point. So I'm all ears for anything that you want to, information that you want to give me.
I'm
tips.
Also like, yeah, so in the United States, it's usually like the government mortgages are packaged by them, right? And standardized. So it's usually a 30-year fixed mortgage with up to 20% down. That's usual. And if you do 20% down, you don't pay primary mortgage insurance. I don't know if that's the same, so that I'm just not sure, but do you know what people put down in Puerto Rico?
I feel like the 20% is always what people recommend.
Sounds right.
Yeah, but I think that some people put less because they just really want to buy a property. So
yes, you can
just
definitely do less,
but I would feel comfortable putting in the 20% for sure.
Okay, so just hear me out. And now we could do both things. One, you could rent where you think you want to buy for a year or two and make sure maybe rather than moving out of your, you know, family home and then moving right into owning might be too big of a step, which is totally fine. Maybe rent for a year or two, see how it feels. The other option would be, and I think this is going to be a little bit of personal preference. You can afford to do either, right? With all the cash. The other option would be And I'm leaning towards just trying out the area first before you commit to buying, making sure you like, you know, you like the area where you're renting, that's where you would want to buy, giving yourself a little more bandwidth to like kind of rather than going from living with your mom to living on your own with a house you own, because it's a big step, right? Because a house is a lot of work. Whether you buy a condo, townhome, or apartment, it's still a lot of work because you're in charge of it all. So I do think maybe the first step is like rent, see how you like it, see how the area goes. Because there's nothing wrong, and I think you've heard this on the podcast, there's nothing wrong with renting. The only time renting becomes a huge issue is when your housing is prohibiting other financial goals. And I don't think that's going to be the issue for you, because if you rent, we're then also not socking down a down payment of $40,000 so that those monies can be invested for you for the future. So you're in a nice position where you could do either. I would like to thank our podcast partner, AG1, the daily foundational nutrition supplement that supports whole body health. I drink it literally every day. I gave AG1 a try because I wanted a single solution to support my immune system as a busy entrepreneur. I drink AG1 first thing in the morning before I even have my coffee, and it makes me feel ready to take on my hectic day. With wedding planning, honeymoon planning, a wealth management company, the podcast, and a renovation project, I need all the support I can get. This has been the best investment into my daily routine and my health with just one scoop in the morning. If you're looking for a simpler, effective investment for your health, try AG1 and get 5 free AG1 travel packs and a free 1-year supply of vitamin D with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/futurerich. That's drinkag1.com/futurerich. Check it out. What is your take? Like, do you have an interest in purchasing property? What? How do you feel about it?
So I've thought about it, and it's definitely something that I like to do. I just don't know if it's going to be as soon as like in a year. I would say maybe 2 to 5 years down the line, I would like to have my own apartment for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So then let's stick with the rental scenario, which I think is a good first step. So, so this changes your budget a lot, right?
Okay.
Because you have coming in with your work income, $1,893, right?
Mm-hmm.
$1,893. And then we have your fixed expenses at $7,964. And then I'm adding the savings of $284 to that. And then... So I think what we need to do, let me work through this in my head here, but I'm thinking what we need to do is we need to invest the money, a little bit of a risky proposition here, invest some of the money.
Okay.
And then we use the return on that investment to pay the rent equals 845. Because 845, okay, so I think the rent should stay on the lower end of 1200. Let's just see. If we invest it, 70,000, it made 8%, it would pay $5,600. And then the other 60,000 stays at the bank and pays 4%, it would be $2,400. $5,600 would be $8,000. Still be a little short on rent. I wonder, it would pay $600 a month, it would pay half your rent. What are we going to do here? Let's see. Okay, tell me about your prospects for work. What's the increasing income look like for work?
At work right now, I don't have a lot of like growth there. So I have been considering getting a new job sometime next year, probably, because I have like a lot of goals in my mind. So I've been toying with the idea of doing a sabbatical for sometime next year. So maybe like 6 months and then go back into looking for a job, maybe in project management or something that pays way better than what I have right now.
Okay. I think that would be, so what if you took the apartment rental money?
Okay.
And that was your sabbatical money.
Okay.
So that would bring down your total savings to 120,000, not get an apartment until after sabbatical.
Okay.
And when you go to look for a new job, we know what your fixed expenses are, right? We know what your saving goals are, which is great. And then we know what rent needs to be. So then we just try and look for a job that maybe is closer to 30,000 or 40,000, because that would then cover everything you need, right? Because we basically, for 1200, and then we have 764 of fixed expenses, 284 of savings. And even if we got your variable expenses down to, let's say, 600, what you would want about 284 plus 600 is you'd probably want to be bringing home closer to $2,900 a month, like $1,000 more.
Okay.
To also cover rent, just about $1,000 more.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds doable.
Does that sound doable? Mm-hmm. So what I would do is I would say I would get the apartment money up to two things. I would get the apartment money up to 10,000, and then I would take a sabbatical, and you can like use that money that's earmarked for a sabbatical. I think a sabbatical is a great idea. And then I would invest the money that you have marked for investments. I think that it will be better served invest it. And then that's earmarked for long term. And that still then leaves you with 70 minus 10 for the sabbatical. It leaves you with 50,000 in cash.
Okay.
Total. I think that's plenty in cash, with 70 invested and 50 in cash, and then 10,000 earmarked for a sabbatical. And then I think that I agree with you. I think that if you could get your income up to support your current fixed expenses, your savings goals of 284, which I really like, and your we got your discretionary from 845, which is discretionary, yeah, down to like 600 a month, right? And then rent, that would bring you to, you need to net about 2,900. If you net more, it's gravy, it's extra. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be a comfortable spot to be in. And that's probably around a 40 something thousand dollar salary, depending on your taxes.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds very doable and very exciting.
Yeah. Oh, does it? Okay, good. And then what you could do is if you get a new job and then you're covering, you're comfortable with like having rent of 1200 and your fixed and variable expenses and your savings, then from there, you still have the 71,000 that you invested, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you still have the 50,000 in cash. Or maybe some of that's gone down. That's fine. And then you decide, okay, in 2 or 3 years' time, as that 70,000 has grown, right? Ideally, the market goes up. It could go down. So it could also go down. If it goes down, then you just postpone the goal of buying. But goal of buying was 2 to 5. So if it goes down in 3 years, if it goes up, and let's say that number is closer to, you know, 90,000, and then you have 50,000 still in cash, and you say, you know what, now I'm ready to buy. Okay, well, you use some of the 50 or use some of the 90 to buy. And then your mortgage stays around the same price of what you were paying in rent, because that's a comfortable budget for you.
Okay, yeah, that sounds amazing.
Let's say the whole process between now with the sabbatical and new job renting and buying is in 5 years, you'd be 34.
Which is pretty good. Still young.
Yeah, which would be great. You're still really young. Yeah, because basically if we're able to, let's just say we use the savings and we just project out that of the, you know, inheritance money, 70 of it gets used and you're 29 and it goes in the market. So at 70, then from, it's at 29 and 70, then we invest it. And we'll just use an average rate of return, compounding rate of return of 7.2%, which means your money will double every 10 years, which I'm sure you've heard me do on the show. Mm-hmm. So that's 140,000 at 39. And then we get to age 49, which I'm sure seems ancient at this point. That's 280, right? Then at 59, we can get potentially another double. And this is all, you know, all as we're earning 7.2 compounding of interest, so not guaranteed, but just for illustration purposes. Then at 59, you have 560,000. Then at 69, which is a very reasonable retirement age, you would have 1.1 million.
Okay. That is pretty great.
Yep. That's pretty great. So what I would say is my target for you would be get the 70,000 invested into sound investments, nothing crazy. You don't need anything complicated. You just need good, long-term, consistent results, and it will go up and it will go down, and just put it in there and leave it alone. And then if, when you do want to buy a property in 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. You say 4 years. So we'll just say the sabbatical 6 months. And then after 6 months, you get back to your savings goal of 284. And 284 times 3 years, it's just 36 months. That's another $10,000 you save in 3 years. So then that gets your savings back up again. And then you can use some of that for the down payment.
Okay. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, because by investing the 70 and saying, let's like let this grow, and I'll use the other monies as an emergency fund, sabbatical, and so for some of those other goals, and letting that cook, I think that will get you a really good retirement number. And then once you get back working again and we get back to saving, you're still going to be saving almost $300 a month. Whether you do that through a work retirement plan or on your own, we can have you back on to talk about that. But then that gives you some time to get comfortable with renting an apartment and that number. And then I think the 1200 number, if that's possible, would play really nicely with the purchase price of around 130,000, somewhere in there. And then your numbers stay the same and we're still saving. And then we're not touching that original 70. That's just being set aside for future.
Okay. And then would you recommend that I put in the 70, like just one transaction to invest the 70, or like diversify it from the beginning and like monthly put in an amount into investments?
Yeah, so monthly would be dollar cost averaging. So you could break it up and do it in increments and just pick the timing of it. Like maybe every 2 weeks you put in a certain amount. So after, you know, 4 months, you have it all in. I would say of the 70, I would break it down into multiple investments. I think that if you picked probably 5 is usually the number I like. That would be, yeah, if you did 5 different investments, that would be 14,000 in each investment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So yeah, if you picked 5 different investments so that you're diversified, you're not putting all of your money in one specific investment. The dollar cost averaging does help. It works really, really well in payroll plans because you're dollar cost averaging over like 30 years. I wouldn't get too caught up with it. I think because if that money is going to be in there for, let's just say, what did I say? 69 is what the number I gave you. 69. So we have 40 years to go.
Okay.
Yeah. So it might not. Everything changes, right? This is just an idea. But if you have 40 years to go, I wouldn't worry about dollar cost averaging so much. I wouldn't like beat yourself up over it. Like as long as you get it in there and you I think diversifying it is more important than dollar cost averaging it in this example, just because of the length of time you have to go in the market.
Okay, no, that sounds perfect. I just wanted to make sure what was the best way to invest it, because I was afraid of putting like 70,000 in the market like at one go.
It is painful, and then God forbid it goes down the next day. You're like, oh, what did I do? It went from 70 to 63. It would really go to like 68 probably. But yeah, so don't beat yourself up over it, but you could do it incrementally, but I wouldn't stretch it over like a year.
Okay.
Yeah, I would do it initially. Like
4 months is good.
A few months. Yeah. Yeah. I think the key though is making sure the 70 isn't all in one investment. I would split it up between, I like 5 because then I don't know. I think that is a nice,
it's a good
mix.
Number.
Yeah. And then you don't get too overwhelmed. Like if one of like, if it, let's just say we have funds 1 through 5. So if fund 1 goes down, then the other ones are probably still up. Right. And so it doesn't feel as bad.
Okay. Yeah. It's not as scary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That sounds good.
Does that feel comfortable though? So like we're earmarking of the 130, we're earmarking basically 70 for long-term investments. It can always be revisited, but we're saying that we're committing to that being in the market long-term. Always, you can always adjust it, but the key is obviously if the market goes down, we definitely want to leave that there so it recovers. And then the other monies are going to be used for the sabbatical, and you know, if you're clothing in there, you have some vacation, emergency fund, all of that's in there. And then after the sabbatical, and I would use the sabbatical to think about what you want to do next.
Uh-huh.
And you know, what you'll really like, and look for a role where you can cover all of your monthly expenses with that new role. So rent, fixed expenses, savings, and discretionary.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a really good plan. I feel like I've been staring at all my balances for a while and I had no idea what to do with all the money.
Mm-hmm. I think it's smart. If you think about it, you're like splitting it up with yourself. You're saying, okay, this is for my future to make sure no matter what happens in the future, I have a good amount of money set aside. And the rest of it's for today. It gives me an emergency fund. It gives me an opportunity for a sabbatical, clothing trip. And even if you take that down a little, that's no big deal. As long as the key really is when you're done with the sabbatical, that you're able to really work and use that time to get you to your next level in your career, where you can have a role that will support you having, you know, rent, fixed expenses, savings, and discretionary spending.
Okay, yeah. And then do you think the 20K in the emergency fund is enough for an emergency fund?
Yeah, specifically for right now, when you're living with your mom, that's more than enough.
Okay.
So even if that came down to like 15, I wouldn't be phased. If you were renting an apartment, I would say that would be different. But with your current situation and with taking a sabbatical, that's plenty.
Okay, that's good. And then do you think I should, yeah?
If there was an emergency and you were renting, you would move back with your mom?
Yeah, probably. She would take me back in.
I was going to say, as long as she'll take you back in, then that's a nice safety net to have, so you don't have to have as much cash. Because right now your fixed expenses are, you know, under $800. So that's plenty of money for the current situation. And the emergency fund will be dependent on expenses, right? So that will adjust. And so right now you don't probably need to have 20, but in the future, especially if you go to buy something in 5 years, you will definitely need that. But that's why we have time with if there's a job change. So I'm not as worried about it.
Okay, awesome. Because I was concerned that it was like way too much money there, but now I know I won't touch it.
Yeah, but if you do, that's fine. If it went, if the 20,000 went down to 12 because you're like, I'm taking a sabbatical and I'm taking a vacation, that's totally fine. You can more than cover a year worth of your fixed expenses currently. And even if it went down to 12,000, you would still have about 6 months, even if you had an apartment at that point, you know?
Okay. That's really good to hear. Makes me at ease.
Good. Yeah, I would use this time to like take the sabbatical, rethink what you want for the career. Because I think that the increasing your work income will really be a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That would be really good.
Amazing. Especially since you know there isn't a ton of upward mobility with your current role. I think that's even more important to like take some time away and figure out like, okay, where can I go where I like what I'm doing, but I could also potentially make more money. And even if you don't start the first year making more money, you could always leverage your savings at that point. But as long as you know that you can get to the point where you're getting an income that could support having an apartment or a mortgage as well as the other spending.
Okay. Yeah. I like how you thought about like all the possible scenarios.
Yay. Well, is there any other questions?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
So I don't have a work sponsored 401k, and in my like journey to like learning about personal finance, I read about Roth IRAs and I opened one with Schwab, but the only thing is that I'm not supposed to have that account with Schwab because I don't pay federal taxes. So I have like $2,000 invested in a Schwab. I think it's a target date fund. And I need to move those.
Okay.
And I don't know what the best course of action is to moving those.
So you're not eligible for a Roth IRA. You're only eligible, right? Because if you do a Roth IRA, you would have had to pay federal tax to be eligible to do a contribution, and you don't pay federal.
Exactly.
You don't pay U.S. federal tax, correct?
Not U.S.,
okay.
Yeah.
But you are not U.S., okay. But you are eligible if your company sponsors a work retirement plan. You can put money in there.
Yes, but then my company does not have any retirement. Yeah.
Okay. So then what I would do is take that number that we said, the 70,000 that you were going to invest, and I would take the monies out of the Roth and put it and add it to that. So then you're actually investing 72,000 instead of 70, since that was kind of like, that was in my mind found money because I didn't have that on your sheet.
Yeah, it's found money. Okay. That would be good.
Okay, perfect. And that's why like with this, when you're looking for the job, like that's another important consideration, not only the salary, but like, do they have a work retirement plan? And would you rather do that 284 to the work retirement plan versus, or maybe we split the difference. Maybe it's 150 to your work retirement plan, 150 to your other investments, right? Your other saving goals. So,
okay. Yeah.
So those are the two things when you're looking for a new job. And how does it work with health insurance? Do you have health insurance through work?
I do. So they pay, I believe it's 25% of the health insurance, and I pay the remaining, but the remaining, it's about like, I think it's like $30 a month that comes from my paycheck. So
your paycheck was net.
Yeah. So in my sheet, that was already subtracted from there.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, that's what the new job, here's what we want. We want to have a work retirement plan. We want to have continuation of payment for health insurance. It doesn't need to be 100%, but so that, you know, they're paying. And then the higher income so that we can cover the rent, fixed expenses, savings, and discretionary. And even if you don't get that out of the gate, because sometimes it's hard, you just want to make sure you're on a track where that you'll get to that in a 1 to 2 year time frame.
Okay. And then you mentioned that a good income would be around the 30 to 40K or 40K preferably.
Yeah, 40K preferably, because it depends on right what job you have, whether what taxes you're paying. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm, definitely. So right now I don't pay a lot in taxes because of my salary.
Yeah. So we want you to net at least 2,900. I think netting you 3,200 would be better. But are you, you don't pay federal income tax, but you do, you pay FICA tax, correct? You do pay Social Security and Medicare.
Mm-hmm. That comes out of my paycheck too.
Okay. But not federal, just FICA.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, if you paid federal, you'd be eligible for the Roth. So probably not then.
But
yeah, and then is there any local tax in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, there is a local tax. I don't remember how much it is, but I do know that I pay a local tax, and I do know that the Social Security is definitely has to do with the federal government. So I'm not sure why.
Yes, no. Yeah. It is the federal government. It's not really a tax. It's a contribution to Social Security and Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
And so your portion of it is 7.65%. And then in addition to that, like in the United States, you would also pay a federal tax in addition to the 7.65.
Okay. Yeah. So definitely not the federal.
Yeah. So you're paying 7.65, which is really just contributing to Social Security and Medicare. And then you'll also pay a Puerto Rican tax. I'm not sure what that is. So when you're coming up, so the number I'm giving you is a net number. So you will have to try and back into that because I'm not sure what I know you're paying the fee. So the 7.65 is abbreviated FICA. It's like the Social Security and Medicare. So you are paying that. So let's say 3,200 would be my at least that for goal. So that would work out to be 38,400 would be your net number. And then let me just see if I can figure out what Puerto Rico. You're really testing my knowledge here, Stacey. This is the first time I've ever looked at this. And you're a resident, right, of Puerto Rico? Okay, so I could be off on this. I'm not a tax expert. You would definitely need to double check these numbers. But I think what you would want your income to be, let me just make sure. And I'm going to round up because I think it's always better to be higher. Then lower, right? Zero. What do you want? I would say I would try and look for an income that's like 45,000.
45.
Give or take.
Okay.
Could be a little up. Yeah. So it could go a little lower. It could go a little higher, obviously. I always like higher. But, and then I would just rerun the numbers before you accept the job.
Uh-huh.
I just don't have your tax exactly figured out. But this is a little ways out. So this will be at least a ballpark, right? It's like shoot for 45.
So 45K.
With opportunity to move up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, 45K.
And then what would that be approximately monthly?
I think you will be about 3,200.
Okay.
A little lower, probably about 3, because you have to do FICA. Okay. So your FICA would be, let's just say 3,500. Your taxes will be, say, like 3,500. That's 7. So 45,000 minus 7,000 is 38,000. This is not including health insurance. And this is including Puerto Rico tax and FICA tax. And then divided by 12, it would be 3,166. So yeah, 3,100.
Okay.
For 45,000. And then if there was like health insurance coverage in there, maybe it would get you down to, it would be 3,100. If my taxes are a little off, it might be closer to 3,000 or 2,900, but that's within the ballpark, the $45,000 range.
Okay. Yeah. So that would be pretty good.
Yeah. So it's a big step up, right? Your current income, right? You're at 28,000. So I'm asking you to take a pretty big jump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm asking you to take a very large jump.
But I mean, it's very needed. I feel like it's been a long time coming. So,
okay. So it doesn't feel unreasonable.
No.
It feels like this, you could like look and find something.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you can't get exactly to 45, like any increase, right? We'll just move. We'll keep moving your way up.
Yeah, we'll keep moving the needle until I get to that number.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because even like you could say, you know what, maybe I did my sabbatical. I traveled a bunch. I'm going to live with my mom for another year or two until I can get this salary that I'm targeting that I can comfortably live on my own with rent and everything and not touch my investments. Mm-hmm. That's fine too, right? You have a lot of flexibility, which is really, which makes a lot of this easier because you're not beholden to having to have an apartment. I would do the sabbatical. I think the sabbatical would be really fun. And then I would see what kind of job you end up with. And if the job comes in at 38,000, I don't know if I would stretch yourself to get the apartment that year. Maybe you give yourself one more year and see if you can get the salary from 38 to 42 and then try it, you know?
Okay. Yeah, no, that sounds doable. It's not overwhelming at all.
Okay, perfect. So did I touch on everything? Did I get most of the questions answered?
Yes. I have one last question. And it's
okay.
Regarding the car payment, do you think I should just pay it off or just continue to pay it every month? Because I've been doing increasing payments like $100 a month every month because I'm dying to get rid of the debt. But I don't know if it's the smartest decision or not.
What is your interest rate on the car?
I think it's 5.something%. It's for sure 5.
Well, right now, so it's 5% on 14,000. Right now, you're making more in interest on the Ally account.
Okay.
Because 5% on the car loan interest at $14,000, the car loan, and let's just say it's even at 6%, you're paying $840 in interest. And on your Ally account currently at 4.15, you're making $5,000, almost $5,400 in interest.
Okay.
So I don't think you need to. If you decide when you go to do the sabbatical, you have less things you want to worry about, that's fine. You could do it, but it's not going to, you have the money to pay it and the interest isn't, you're not losing money. You're making so much more money in the bank on your, because you have so much sitting there.
Okay. Yeah. So then I'll just leave them there.
Yeah. I would, for the time being, I would just leave it alone. And then you could always rejigger it if you need to, depending, like maybe on the sabbatical, you don't need the car and you get rid of it. I don't know. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're like, I'm going to travel for 6 months. I don't want to have a car payment. I'll just get rid of the car and deal with it when I get back. But yeah, for the time being, I would leave it as is.
Okay. Awesome. I can do that.
So your big homework really, if we were to round this all out, is get the 70,000, invest it. You can dollar cost average it and you can pick 5 investments. Now, remember, we're looking for sound, long-term investments. We're not looking for anything crazy. So basically, you're not looking for anything very exciting.
Okay.
You're looking for consistency. You'll get rid of the Roth monies because you're not eligible for that and put those in there. So that'll be $72,000 invested. The remainder will stay in Ally, which is making high yield interest, which is fantastic. You will take a sabbatical, which sounds amazing.
Very exciting.
And the money that you have earmarked for the apartment. Yeah. So I think it's way more exciting than having an apartment, frankly.
Yeah.
So I would use the apartment money. If you need to dip into some of your emergency fund, that's fine. And then really ultimately the goal is whether sabbatical is 6 months or 12 months will depend on how and what you're doing for that time frame. Is when you come back, you're going to be looking for a position that you can earn ideally in my perfect world around 45,000 or a role that you can work your way up to that. Because then that way you can cover rent, fixed expenses, discretionary and savings on your income. And then that way we're leaving all the cash where it is. And that investment alone, and then you can test out the budget on your income. And then from there, hopefully you'll be back on before this.
Mm-hmm.
You'll just evaluate, let's say that's year 2 or year 3, and then year 5, you're looking to see, instead of having rent, we're looking to replace rent with a mortgage.
Okay.
Sound good?
It sounds pretty, pretty great. Like I can't believe, I feel like now everything is clear and making sense.
Amazing. That's what I like to hear. Well, I would love to have you back on.
I would.
Specifically,
yeah.
I'd love to have you back on after the sabbatical, like when maybe you found a job and we can like talk it out.
Yes, I would love that.
Okay, amazing. Well, go. I'm sure you have beautiful weather right now. So I hope you enjoy the beautiful weather. And for all of our lovely listeners, this should be airing on Friday, July 14th, which means I have 2 days left for you to vote for me on the Go Banking Rates Top Money Expert, or Top 100, what is it? 100 Most Influential Money Experts. And you can vote for your favorite expert, which I hope is me. And you can do that until July 16th. I would absolutely love to win and would super appreciate your support. Every vote makes a big difference. So please check that out. It's gobankingrates.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.